Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. We are the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, late of nowhere, but this here podcast. Joining us today to discuss, among other things, the ACC Coastal, which of course was on the docket, since there have been no interruptions in business whatsoever, is Giant Cicada, and also Jason Kirk. Hello, Jason Kirk.
Now, who is us here? Are you us?
Yes. Joining us, the royal we, and the listener.
I get it. Okay. Yeah, we and the two of us, the hosts of the Shutdown Fullcast, are joined by two guests.
Big
Holly Anderson
guests.
And Ryan Nanny, who some of you might recognize from their work covering college football every day so far this year. Can say hello, guests. How are we doing today?
Do you think the moon is made out of a giant ball of snakes? Do you think the moon is actually a giant ball of snakes, is what I'm saying.
How many snakes?
I don't know. I mean, that's a great question because, like, snakes come in different sizes, and if it's all, like, anacondas, you don't need as many as if it's just, like, garter snakes or whatever. But we haven't walked on the moon since December 1972. And do you think that's because the moon is actually snakes and we, like, astronauts just refuse to go back?
Anaconda moon would be an amazing cologne.
Moonaconda.
Oh. Okay, so
How do you know that this we you speak of hasn't walked on the moon since then?
That people haven't walked on the moon? I mean, it hasn't been documented.
There we go, yeah.
Oh, because it's not on Instagram.
So wait, you're saying we have been to the moon, we just haven't talked about it. But wouldn't
Yeah, because it's pretty boring. Why would we talk about it? There's nothing there, you know?
Not if it's made of snakes, it's not boring. It's horrifying.
I thought we decided that the moon was tigers.
When did we decide that?
Moon tigers. That's why they brought guns to the moon.
No, that's not the same thing as the moon is made of tigers.
No, but like where are the snakes? Where are the snakes and the tigers interacting?
I'm saying that the moon is not the moon is not like a satellite. It's not rock.
Oh,
it's a
like
giant
a bait ball.
It's a giant ball of snakes.
I mean, if they're that big, you wouldn't even know that you're standing on a snake though, right?
No, I'm not saying it's one snake. I'm saying it's like, to Holly's earlier point, like, I don't know, 700,000 snakes twisted in one big ball orbiting the Earth, perversely affecting the tides. Like, would people go in the ocean at all if you were like, oh yeah, low tide and high tide? That's because of the giant ball of snakes.
Nah.
Yes.
Man, people get
Metal
so used
Beach.
They'd get so you. They get
so like
used
the
to that.
Ocean sucks, but if you tell me that going in the ocean is the result of space snakes, fuck yes, I'm in.
Yeah, people for like a day would be horrified, and then like every other horrifying thing in life, they would just ignore it. For instance, the ocean's filled with carnivorous fish capable of swallowing a man whole.
Sure.
What do people want to do on vacation? Let's go to the beach! It'll be fun!
Don't ever do that voice again.
I don't know what voice that was.
Let's go to the beach!
That was Franklin. That's Franklin
beach
coming
voice.
Out of his pores.
It is.
Y'all don't know beach voice?
Isn't the beach fun? It's so good. Okay. It's sand and cancer. Let's go!
Ah, that's salt life, Shelby.
You can get eaten by fish. People just sleep right through that.
So in the middle of March 1965, the Soviets had launched their own two-person mission. I believe it was Voskhod 2, and the U.S. was panicking, right, because they hadn't had a mission yet to carry two astronauts into space, and it was going to be John Young and Gus Grissom. And the thing that I forgot to mention on the last episode, which just recorded a short while ago, is that John Young smuggled a corned beef sandwich into space. He put the sandwich in his pocket. Right before launch, you can read about it on the transcript. They complain about the quality of the sandwich. Grissom announced that he would stick the sandwich back in his pocket because it was starting to break up. And you can see a corned beef sandwich, though not the corned beef sandwich, embedded in acrylic preserved at the Gus Grissom Memorial Museum in Mitchell, Indiana.
So did he eat any of this sandwich in space?
There were nibbles off the sandwich. Grissom did taste the sandwich, and Young tasted the sandwich, and Young said the sandwich was a thought, not a very good one. You can read more about this at space.com.
Let me tell you my favorite part of that description, which is that the sandwich began to break up because astronauts and engineers always thinking in engineering terms is my favorite part of this. Yes, it's lost. The sandwich is losing structural integrity. Abort.
But the reason I was coming back is, where did the sandwich come? Wolfie's Restaurant and Sandwich Shop in Cocoa Beach, attached to the Ramada Inn.
Oh, God. Why would you go to a Cocoa Beach Ramada Inn and say, you know what? Corned beef. That's what I bet you do well.
You forget the kind of people that they were asking to become astronauts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's
on
fair.
On the list
with
of
the exception of our patron saint, Michael Collins.
So on the list of, if you were going to represent American culture on the moon, do you have something more authentically representative than that exact sandwich from that?
I'm letting Dave one step pick my sandwich order for the moon.
Can I just go back to this? On the list of risk management factors,
yeah,
getting on top of a rocket, which is made of exploding fuel that just happens to blow up in the right direction in space travel, and then traveling in a vacuum where you'll be boiled alive if you come out of your little tin can and special suit, a corned beef sandwich isn't anything compared to that. I'm going to go ahead. I'll get, you know what? I would go ahead and get a seafood salad sandwich from a gas station, because why not?
Okay, but if you're going to bother to smuggle a sandwich into space so mm-hmm. that you can say, I ate a sandwich in space.
Make it a good one.
Yeah, why would you, like, imagine how distressing that is.
Why do you want food poisoning in space?
Look at me, I'm the first person to eat a sandwich in space. P.S., it wasn't very good.
Have we considered that maybe John Young has no taste in sandwiches?
What about this? It's a trap for the aliens.
You mean the snakes?
If someone takes a rotten chicken salad sandwich up there to the moon, yeah, and they feed it to the snakes, and the snakes are like, oh, look at this delicacy. It would be very rude of us to not eat this Earth cuisine. And then they do, right, and then the entire moon crumbles, and we see the snakes, their dead bodies falling down to the Earth, and they crash to the ocean, and they're like on fire in the fucking atmosphere. Man, that was a well-delivered sandwich, and that Ramada will become like a shrine for finally defeating the moon snakes.
Defeating
so we're
the
saying
moon
that
snakes.
Not only is the moon a bait ball of snakes, but they're snakes that abide by a code of manners?
Well, I mean,
oh,
yeah,
yeah,
why would
not
they be rude?
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just asking questions.
They let people walk around on their heads for a while. You
and
know?
Our Earth signals have been beamed to them, so they've seen Downton Abbey, and they know how you're supposed to act.
Yeah, they've heard all our songs for the last, like, 70 years, and they haven't complained about them at all. Like, every now and then they look away from us, which I get it, but...
Snakes, we're sorry about Dave Matthews.
Yeah, this tracks with War of the Worlds, because the thing that killed the aliens was exposure to microbes from the Earth, so this is really just pushing it a step further and saying that we stopped the aliens by making them eat Subway.
Yep.
This wow. podcast is sponsored by Subway.
It's not true.
We also know that it won't be true.
Every last one of those snakes is a $5 foot long.
Wow.
Subway's motto should just be eat. Subway, eat.
Didn't we go through this
eating?
We've been through this with Little Caesars before. What is it? Hot and ready. We never said it was food.
Is Subway like sober Little Caesars?
Ugh.
Yeah. No.
No, it is.
I mean, Little Caesars at least has its virtues.
You have the Subway tone is... of despair in your voice of a man who's been to Sonic twice already today.
I like that Little Caesars is honest because its mascot is a man who is probably most famous for being killed by people he trusted.
Just like Brian.
Which, what better summary of the Little Caesars eating experience than, et tu, brute.
I feel like Subway is, that's warm and ready, right?
Yeah.
Et tu, glute.
Yeah. To those of you, to the one nerd who's going to email me and be like, you didn't say brute. No, I mean brute.
Brute.
Oh, we'll get. We can have a Latin fight. That can happen.
Thank you, Wikipedia man, in advance.
Brut Caesar, backup left tackle for Purdue, 1984 to 1987.
Owns a Subway now. Several
he
of them.
He beat Ohio State though, didn't he?
Yeah. I also like that if you ask your cousin Leroy how many Subways he ate, he'll say, it too.
God damn it.
This is where I'd like to confess something. There are show notes for this show, and I have not opened them, and I will not open them. Because I'm trying something different going forward. I'm going to be the Spencer.
I love this.
No, we already got one of those.
You've earned it, buddy.
I'm going to be the Spencer. I don't know what the show notes say. I don't know what we're talking about. And if that means we're just going to talk about the moon being a ball of snakes and poisoning them with Subway to free humanity, that's fine with me.
So we're going to go.
Well, you don't have. Ryan, you shouldn't have to look at the show notes because you're not the host.
That's true.
The snakes have been ambivalent to us this whole time. So it's not really about poisoning them. It's just about putting on an incredible fireworks show.
But they're always watching. Right. They're always watching.
That's, man, we need somebody watching us. We cannot be left to our own devices. Look at how far we've gotten without the snakes. It hasn't gone well.
So, wait, why aren't the snakes intervening then?
No arms.
Well, isn't this the something?
It's still the opposable thumb thing, man.
If I could just send a message. Oh, damn it!
I've just got these touch phones.
Carl, would you stop biting me?
The moon is nothing but, like, screaming snakes. Like, they can't touch any buttons or anything. They can't build any technology. They're just screaming at us.
Oh, they can't podcast.
What a pleasant thought.
The dream. Yeah.
They're just yelling into yelling into that iPhone left on the moon by Buzz Aldrin when he visited it 3 years ago.
The first iPhone.
The first iPhone. They're just yelling into it, going, "Call God! Call God!"
They're all just in a pile screaming into each other's butts.
Yeah. That is, by the way, what
kind
Buzz
of like
Aldrin.
This podcast.
That is what Buzz Aldrin yells into phones all the time. Call God, please!
Call God.
Speaking of updates.
Challenge God to whist.
Wait, who is speaking of updates?
Spencer, was that a segue? What the hell?
It was. I'm just going to go. We're going.
No, we can't move on until you do a better segue.
Spencer, what is the most random word you could put here and justify it with? Speaking of.
Moon snakes. That's pretty random.
Sure. Penny farthing.
Yep.
We do have important updates in our world after this lengthy discussion of the angry,
this is what
armless
other podcasts call housekeeping.
Reptiles of the moon.
Are Holly, you not going to sing podcast business?
We could. I think it'd feel good to sing it, wouldn't it?
I'm going to give you a little percussive intro.
Okay. Podcast business. What's that business? Podcast business. We've got business for the podcast. The moon's made of snakes.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's all right.
Suck that moon snake's dick.
How can you tell which part of a snake is the dick?
Yeah, there's only one way to find out, I guess.
Holly!
You asked.
What?
You have an important update.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do?
What?
There's been an achievement in your family.
No?
Wait.
This is like watching beach volleyball where only one player knows that a game is happening.
This is what happens when we don't record in the same room.
And the other is like, I'm trying to read. Stop flinging that volleyball at me.
I think you're
important,
going out of order.
Epic, I am, but an important epic achievement. The only thing we could mention that
are
could possibly have happened.
Are you telling me Spencer just tore up the show notes that he wrote?
I am close to jumping head first off this balcony.
I am.
I'm
promise?
Definitely
do you
on.
Promise?
Spencer,
what balcony?
Swear.
Spencer, I have terrible news. You're
the
me.
This is a ground floor office.
You're the me now.
It concerns a real estate purchase.
He's Mr. Mom. Oh, no, it just got dark in there.
Is she gonna tell the story or is she not gonna tell the story?
I don't think she will.
I thought Spencer was gonna tell the story. He's the one who put it in the show.
Your dad did something astonishing.
He does. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. Because every time I think I've leveled up in Dadness, I realize that I've just, what I thought was the mountaintop is just another hillock on the way to the rest of the mountain with the peak far above me.
I am not a father, so I'm going to put this to the three of you who are. I told Spencer a story about my father, which I didn't think was that remarkable, and he has now set it as his life's K2, as like his ultimate goal. So tell me what you think. My parents are in the process of moving to their, if I say forever home, that makes them sound like rescue puppies. But they have purchased a home to live in throughout their retirement. You know, no stairs, room in the bathroom for wheelchairs and whatnot. They would like to live at this home until they are dead. They have not yet sold my childhood home where they have lived for 37 years. And are kind of in the process of shuffling their stuff from the old house to the new house, but they still live in the old house, which is why my father, in the middle of helpfully volunteering to take loads and loads of stuff over to the new house, this is already a boring story, I'm boring myself, but anyway, my dad smuggled an air mattress and bedding materials into the new house and has been spending, like, blocks of hours at a time, 6-8 hours at the new house, just napping in the middle of an empty room.
Nap house. Nap house.
So he drives to this mostly empty house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I should add that I forgot the inciting factor. My brother and his family have just moved back to my hometown, and they are also in the process of moving to a new house. But until then, my brother is working from home, my sister-in-law is at home, and my 7-year-old and 18-month-old nieces are also under his roof.
So what does the man do? How does this problem? Nap house. An entire house just devoted to the nap. In case it wasn't apparent that I believe this was the plan all along, the air mattress is the selling factor here.
Oh, the air mattress was absolutely intentional. Like, he smuggled that.
He's got... And what else is at the house? Nothing. Like, nothing, right?
There's boxes. There's boxes in the garage and my dad on an air mattress in the floor of what will be his new office in the house.
Can I ask some follow-up questions?
Yes, go ahead.
Does the air mattress have bedding on it?
Yes. He brought sheets and pillows and a blanket.
Okay.
He brought a blanket.
Okay. Okay.
Did he bring the good pillow? Did he bring, like, the special pillow?
My dad doesn't have special pillow needs.
Okay.
He's an outside dog.
What room in the house is the air mattress placed in?
The air mattress is in a room that is slated to become my father's study.
Okay. What's the window situation there?
I'm glad you asked, because the reason he selected this for his study is because the study is primarily for naps. Currently, his office at the house is occupied by the crib of my 18-month-old niece, so he had to find a new study. But the study is specifically chosen for being the dimmest room.
Okay. Does he bring any sort of, like, noise machine or anything else with
earplugs,
him?
That's it. He's a simple man.
Okay.
Still, bringing your own earplugs. That's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because what you were describing to me is the plot of, like, a Langoliers style short story where your dad goes to Nap House by himself.
Oh no.
Wakes up from his 6-hour midday nap, and everything is gone. All humans have left the earth.
Do you know what my father would do?
Nap
in this
some more?
Situation, no, he would hook up his boat and drive to the lake.
You think you've thrown a curveball here, Ryan?
Yeah. Prepared.
No, I realize that this short story doesn't go anywhere because it's not a scenario where he's, like, fretting over what happened. He's just like, great, no traffic.
I'm glad that you brought up the Langoliers, because the thing that sprang to mind first when he told me this, also, he didn't tell me this story like it was some master plot. This all unfolded over the course of a phone call where I FaceTimed him because I've been FaceTiming my parents at random hours throughout the day to make sure they are not at Home Depot without masks. And he appeared to be in bed. And I said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I'm at the house." I said, "What house?" And it unfolds from there. But the piece of literature of pop culture that sprang to my mind when I heard this story was Time Enough at Last.
Sure.
And I'm just picturing like one earplug falling through an air vent.
I was going to say the air mattress springs a leak.
Yeah, no, that's it. The air mattress totally springs a leak.
The air mattress springs a leak, and he goes, "That's not fair. That's not fair."
Now, there is going to be a sad ending to this story because...
Oh, yeah, my mom's going to have to move into the house.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that Nap House won't last forever.
That makes it more beautiful, don't you think?
I don't know. Like, how much more can we lose in these uncertain times?
I want a collection of dads who pool and then eventually begin fighting over Nap House. They get custody. They can't afford a whole Nap House.
Oh, Adam Sandler's getting old. This is a screenplay you can
sell.
That's
a divorcee hotel.
No.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that could be what it could become in your script. In my script, what it becomes is a bunch of men who realize that the only thing they want in life isn't actually something ambitious. It's a place to lay on an air mattress for 45 minutes a day. Okay. And then we start an unlicensed business.
And solve crimes.
And
well, I feel like, Spencer, what you've described, I feel like that's a jail.
A really nice jail that you can leave.
Just a bunch of people napping together all day.
Or like a YMCA. Oh, you know what it is? It's a hurricane shelter.
That's
what it is.
Yeah.
Listen, if you've met my niece... It's not inaccurate.
So Spencer's doing great because his dream is to one day have access to a hurricane shelter.
Yeah, y'all are dads. What do you think of the Nap House? I thought this was kind of funny, and Spencer has not shut up about it ever since.
I think it's amazing.
I'm just worried. I am worried for how it's going to end. Like, it's going to turn, and he's going to have to say goodbye.
Oh no!
To
no!
His little
he
habitat.
Doesn't. You know what's going to happen? Everybody's going to move into the new house. Where's he going to go? Back to the old house.
But that can't last forever either.
No, it can't. But he might be dead by then.
So I feel like there are more varietals of dad.
I didn't speak that into existence.
Nap dad is a very popular type of dad we all know and love. There's also the pre-granddad, who's like, "Huh? It's 9 a.m. You're not up yet? You've wasted half the day."
I've been up for 5 hours.
Yeah, and like, I've always been horrible at napping. So like, a building where you do nothing but nap, that is awesome for the nap dad. I would lose my mind in Nap House.
That may also be the barricade between me and understanding this as well, because I too cannot nap.
Jason, what are you doing? You have access to a residential property that has no furniture in it, and you cannot bring more than, like, a few small, like, the size of an air mattress, something that. What are you doing in your Nap House?
Brother, I am posting. I am getting online.
Shit is, post house.
That is posting house.
I'm making a blog boiler room.
Mm-hmm.
More posts.
Mm-hmm.
More
posts. Yeah, this sounds awesome. No, nothing to distract me from posting.
Alex Kirshner just sitting in the corner with his laptop on the floor going, "This is fine.
God.
I don't need anything.
God."
Hey, speaking of Alex Kirshner, what's he been up to?
Oh, hey, Jason.
That's a fucking segue.
That was a great segue. Jason, take that and ride with it, if you will. What we've been up to?
So Spencer and I wrote a book alongside three other very talented gentlemen. I shouldn't even say the other there. Spencer and I have three talented friends, is probably the way to put it. Right, Spencer?
I would call it, in the context of this project, partners.
Sinful7.com is it's a book. It's kind of about college football. It's kind of a Western. It's kind of a bunch of weird shit. It's the very true story of the NCAA as told through fiction and nonfiction at the same time, along with Alex Kirshner, Richard Johnson, Tyson Whiting, who I would confidently say provided the best moments of the book. Alex's fiction is probably our most favorite burst of writing in the whole thing. Richard wrote the best moment. Richard wrote probably the best thing he's ever written, his story of Jack Trice. Alex wrote sort of the kind of the whole excuse we could call this a college football book, because otherwise it'd be like, you know, a Western with like college football references. Alex provided the bridge between college football and the Western world. The three of them did so much work that doesn't even show up on the page. So many good edits on every chapter. Tyson's art is awesome, and he was also our first reader of the whole thing. We very much want everyone to check it out, and we very much want everyone to appreciate and enjoy all the work that the three young fellas put into it, because it is some of the best work in the whole thing.
How many pages are we talking?
It's difficult to say. It's roughly the equivalent of 260 if you printed it all out in book form, which people have done. People have broken into their offices like Sam Fisher to print the thing out. In an ebook, it's going to depend on your format. By the way, Tyson learned ebooking, which is apparently crazy difficult. Like, the four of us were all just like, oh, let's make a PDF. And Tyson is like, no. I'm going to learn to become an actual professional book publisher. Depending on your format, it might be as many as 600-something pages. I mean, we didn't have anywhere else to post.
Tyson might be the only person that this audience is unfamiliar with, and he is your god now. In the space between the last full cast episode and this full cast episode, which is a very short amount of time, especially in the cosmic sense, Tyson is the one you want to become a super fan of.
Tyson's dope as shit, and you know, anyone who buys this book, you are obligated to specifically enjoy and pay attention to the work of Alex, Richard, and Tyson, because it is some of the shit we are the most proud of.
Yeah, they were outstanding in every single way. Also, to be clear, we're awesome. Like, Jason did amazing work. I did amazing work. We're really good at this. But
yeah, our shit's good too, I guess. But yeah.
No, we're incredible. Don't sell us short. We're awesome. This is my new approach. Humility is dead.
Yeah, man. Humility is a fucking scam.
Complete scam.
That is a thing I've learned over the last 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Humility
to the two
the
of you,
birds.
I just gotta say welcome.
And guess what, man? Birds aren't fucking humble either. All they do is fly around all day talking about how great they are.
Yeah. Insects, too. And listen to them. Listen to them in the background with Jason there right now. You
Let's
know what they're saying?
Fellas, come on.
Yeah. They're shouting themselves out all day long. So we might as well do the same. That's sinful7.com for the low, low price, $18.52 for 260 pages of content. Fantastic, like, pulp western, a bear mythology, which I think we could form a really successful blood cult around, by the way, Jason. Business
note. Pick that down. So you're getting a whole story. You're getting Spencer telling a crazy Western that is super fun, that is written by an actual fan of Westerns. Like, Spencer was teaching us about how Westerns work. That was awesome. Spencer wrote songs that someday we will probably actually record. Cuppy Cup has set them to music. And then you're also getting a whole other story that is me, Alex, and Richard, and people are starting to notice how the entire book sort of flows together. The one thing I will say is follow the bear, because the bear is in almost every chapter.
Yes. So that is what we've been up to, along with our fellow Moon Crew members and ex-SB Nation and Banner Society.
Can I tell y'all something very funny that just happened while we were recording this?
Please.
The coaches poll came out.
And adding a point to the agenda.
Where is Texas, Ryan?
Sorry, Ryan. We're talking about college football.
I apologize for. I apologize.
I got a question before we get into the ACC preview, because there's something that's been on my heart.
Speak on it.
I gotta just bring it up and lay it at the foot of the cross. How's Texas gonna go 9-3 this year?
Laboriously.
Pretty simple. They're going to win 9 games.
All right, let's do this cold. Holly, Spencer, Jason, each of you get. We'll do this prices. No, we won't do a prices right style. That doesn't make sense. Each of you give me your prediction for where you think Texas is in the top 25. And I will tell you they are in the coaches poll that just dropped. In the coaches poll that just dropped.
It is Thursday, August 6th at 12:11 p.m. Eastern. Texas is 17th.
So Holly has 17. Okay.
12.
Spencer. Spencer 12. says 12.
I mean, I'll, let's go 15th. And to be clear, I think 15th is fair.
Okay. In the actual 17th spot, USC, Southern California.
Wow.
Shit.
In the actual 12th spot, Wisconsin.
Sure.
Okay.
In the actual 15th spot, Michigan.
Mm. Wow. Excuse me.
Holly, is that reaction because, like, in year 13 or whatever of Jim Harbaugh, they should probably be clocking in better than that? Is that reaction?
No, I believe a Wolverine just walked over my grave is the fuck he's saying.
So I've told you Wisconsin is 12, Michigan is 15. I will tell you that Texas is 14. Now, yes. new phase of the game, who's 13?
Oh, the funniest possible answer would be Texas A&M.
Yeah. I'll put me down for that.
Spencer and Jason have hit it in one.
Texas A&M. Wait. Why are we talking about that? They're not rivals. Why does that matter?
How curious.
Look at these two schools snuggling up against one another in the coaches' poll, just tangling their feet together under the covers.
I think that just says what quality football the state of Texas can put out. And we can have two teams there, so cozy and tight and competitive.
Mac Brown is on this top 25 as well.
Yeah, sure.
What's the most Mac Brown ranking? I'm gonna go ahead and put Mac Brown at 18.
You're close.
19.
Sorry, I didn't know we were playing the game there. 23. Sorry. 23. Holly is Iowa. All right. Last thing. You have two possible answers here. Because there's a tie. Who is leading in others' receiving votes?
Please could tell me it's not Tennessee.
So wait, is your guess not Tennessee or Tennessee?
My guess is Tennessee, but to be clear, I object.
Okay, so Holly's guess is Tennessee. Spencer.
Oh, I'm going to guess.
Is Tennessee, but I'm mad about it.
Okay.
The most insulting answer would be a mid-major who deserves votes, but... doesn't get the respect of getting the 25 slot, which means nothing. Like, you could have just put him in the 25 slot.
Okay.
Nobody remembers that.
So I'll tell you who's in the 25 slot if that helps. It's Iowa State.
Of course.
Okay,
yes.
Then it's definitely it's definitely Boise State.
Okay.
Put
Jason?
Me down for Memphis.
Holly and Spencer both got it. Tennessee and Boise State are tied for 26.
Stop!
Memphis. They're not ranking them technically. Memphis is three spots below them, Jason, in between Kentucky and Baylor in the not receiving votes category. The top of the poll is very boring. There's nothing.
I hate this so much. No, this is fine. Keep them there. Yeah. Right there.
Like, they will, because nobody's going to play any games, so.
No, that's a great point.
Here's the last thing I have to say about this poll. Pitt received one vote.
That's right.
In the coaches' poll. That's right. Pitt is in the record books. Along with Indiana and Duke and Kansas State, the one-pointers.
Where is fellow ACC Coastal team Notre Dame?
Notre Dame is 10th in between Oregon and Auburn.
Hey, sure. Speaking of which.
Yeah, new ACC member, Notre Dame.
Auburn.
An hour and 15 minutes after we started recording, how about our full cast ACC Coastal preview?
That's right. The ACC Coastal, obviously the most mysterious and elusive of all divisions in college football due to its perpetual 5-7 and 7-5-ness. If you want the yin and yang, if you want the light and dark, if you want to understand the Tao of college football, I'm afraid you have no choice but to become familiar with the ACC Coastal. Will you ever remember its members? No. Which is kind of why we decided to preview it by going ahead and saying that all ACC teams, in fact, belong to the ACC Coastal. Actually,
well, they kind of do this year.
They kind of do.
But like this year, you throw in Notre Dame, divisions are out the fucking window.
Mm-hmm.
Which, great, they suck anyway. So, yeah, like, now that essentially everyone is ACC Coastal, everyone is a gray Jedi, in the ACC Coastal. What we have done is I have come up with a statistical formula. This here on this podcast, Marriage and Numbers of Words. I am the inventor and proprietor of the ACC Coastalness 500 algorithm, and Spencer has made a movie.
I have.
You can't find it. It's out there. It's on Go 90, which no one has.
And much like this show, we refuse to show our work.
God, like Godfrey didn't even do anything to us. Just that's fine.
Today.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, every school really might be the ACC Coastal, because I just got another bit of breaking news. Mm-hmm. The NOAA's revised hurricane forecast predicts another 10 to 15 named storms in a season that has already set records. We might all be ACC Coastal by the end of this.
Yeah.
Ooh. If the number of storms... Jason, here's one for a Vacation Bible Podcast. If the number of storms exceeds 21... it would force forecasters to resort to using the Greek alphabet, which has only happened once before. Thank you, Washington Post.
Okay, yeah, we'll go Aramaic on them. Yeah, let's do it.
No, they should really, like, the third option should be Dipset members.
Dipset hurricane season.
This is Hurricane Cameron. It's Hurricane Jules.
Tropical Storm Jim Jones.
Boy!
This hurricane got shot and drove to the hospital in a Lamborghini. No contest.
Take that, Hurricane Camille. Hurricane Cameron put that on you.
So what is the formula?
I will reveal it at the end. What you need to know right now is that we are going from least ACC Coastal to most ACC Coastal. Be not fooled. This is not a backward measurement of your team quality. Mm-hmm. It will sound like
it's
that
their,
at
it's
the
their
beginning.
Coastalness. You're
it's
looking
their
for coastalness.
Right. Yeah. So we will start with the least ACC Coastal program of all Florida State.
Yeah, which we have a quantitative and qualitative side of this. Being bad at math, I've decided to do the qualitative. Florida State, I think that, one, in terms of coastalness, there are far too many smokers who do not own quarter zips in the fan base, and they're far too good at football generally. They're a little too deep southern for the good of ACC coastalness. It, you know, waters down and weakens that sort of. If I'm putting ACC Coastal, I'm kind of like, somewhere between Belk and Jim Nantz. Like, Belk is a pretty strong, like, guiding star for ACC Coastalness in my eyes. There's, you know, it's not necessarily one uniform thing, but if I had to point you in a direction, you know, its Belkness isn't quite as strong as some of the others. So, Florida State, definitely last here in terms of overall ACC Coastalness.
Between Belk and Jim Nantz sounds very upper middle class, which is not Florida State.
I think it sounds erotic.
Yeah.
Also, just try and stand between Belk and Jim Nantz. You'll get stampeded, brother.
Between the pleats. Oh yeah. My God. Belk in the street. No, so, something in the pleats. God damn it, I had it.
I feel like Florida State,
we'll get you back in game shape.
Their ACC golf.
I beg your pardon.
Also, I feel like, so this metric, BELK, that could be a useful acronym, basketball is probably, that's the B, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
basketball, excellence, LARPing.
Lacking.
Khakis.
Oh, yeah.
K is for khakis.
Cool, great. Lacrosse.
Yeah, lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
Khakis.
Florida State
basketball, equestrianism, lacrosse, khakis.
Yeah.
So Florida State has the equestrianism, they have the basketball, but they don't have the lacrosse or the khakis at all.
See, right. Florida has probably an equivalent amount of equestrianism, but it's such a different equestrianism from, say, that you'd find in some of the schools in the Virginia and North Carolina areas.
Yeah, it's all manatees.
Yeah. Well,
Florida State, they're riding around on horses and spearing manatees.
Would it be more or less problematic if the Florida State mascot rode onto the field on a manatee?
Oh, no.
And
to be clear, I am not talking about members of the Seminole tribe spearing manatees. To be clear, I'm talking about Florida State students, like, stealing guns from a laser tag arena and trying to shoot manatees with them.
Is there
I just want to see a manatee named Renegade. Like, what are you rebelling against?
I just want to see somebody try and club a manatee to death with the butt end of a Quasar gun.
Then you should enroll at the University of Miami.
Are there any ski resorts that start with E? Eldora? You know, that's I think that's probably where I would go with this, because sure. that feels like an important element. Mind you, these are mostly aspirational, and right. The only kind of skiing a lot of Florida State people do is of the barefoot water kind. So, which I'm not dissing that. It's very hard to do.
Right. 16th on the ACC Coastal rankings. What? That's a weird number. 16th. Settle down. I'm the numbers expert here. We'll get to it. Notre Dame, the new kids. Second least ACC Coastal member of all.
Yeah, and this is an entirely different kind of regional counterpoisoning that we have. Notre Dame got some strong resume points in terms of being potentially ACC Coastal, right? Like, high percentage of people who are like, yeah, I think I'm going to go work on Wall Street after I graduate. Owners of many quarter zips. Unfortunately, the Midwestern poisoning, far too strong overall. Any school from Indiana, by default, cannot be part of the ACC, because remember, Indiana defaults to Midwest, and then the second option isn't even Coastal, ACC, Mid-Atlantic, New England, or Florida. No, remember, your second default is what Southern Indiana is, which is Southern, and that really, really messes with it, deep Southern. So, because if you don't know, Southern Indiana is basically like, it's not even Kentucky, it just skips over, it's part of Georgia.
No, it is Kentucky, it's not you deep South.
Well, we'll go Kentucky. That's still way off any potential ACC Coastal compatibility. So, Notre Dame, you're poisoned there.
Third least ACC Coastal program, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, to Appalachian. Huh. To Appalachian.
Okay.
By far.
And well, proud, I'm sure just, they would tell you.
I'm just surprised because they're 7-5 as shit these days.
I mean, that would work. However, I will say this. Hunting gear. Way, way too much hunting gear. Also, actual math skills. Actual math skills kind of drive you out of being ACC Coastal.
I think, like, it's fair to say that a lot of Virginia Tech fans wear camo bathing suits to the beach, right?
Sure.
And
yeah, and they're smart enough to go blue camo, to go actual aquatic camo, because they have multiple kits, you know,
right,
like a
right.
like a Virginia Tech fan, you're leaving the house, it's not a wardrobe, brother, that's a loadout.
They're still preparing to shoot a deer in the ocean,
yeah,
but
you never
they
know.
Will they will be camouflaged.
See,
a Virginia Tech fan playing lacrosse, they're just going to use that shit to catch flying squirrels.
You know, we said we weren't that coastal, but I wouldn't put it past them to have bug out tunnels dug to the sea.
Lake.
Yeah, you never know.
That's the thing, though. Like, when you think about, when Virginia Tech people think about the coast, they're thinking, yeah, man, me and Bud Foster out there wakeboarding.
Or flooded, or flooded quarry would also work.
Flooded quarry. They even do the wrong kind of skiing, because I have seen Virginia Tech skiers in the wild, but they're all in jeans.
Jeans, yep. Yep.
I'm not even making that up. I've never told a joke. If you see someone wearing a Virginia Tech jacket or something on the slopes, I guarantee you they're skiing in jeans. And again, to clarify, which I think is sick, that's awesome. I think if you ski in jeans, you are representing the best of what we are as a nation, and I encourage you to do it.
I'm trying to imagine, like, Virginia Tech's greatest skier making it to the Winter Olympics and being like, the jeans stay on. The jeans stay on!
I feel like something to do with water skiing in jeans might be our next shirt. How about that?
Sure. Sure.
We can't give Alan Jackson to the ACC Coastal.
Like,
well, that's
these
mean.
These are my water skiing jeans. The fourth least ACC Coastal program. This one will probably be an even bigger surprise. Wake
upset.
Forest.
Wow.
Mm. Now,
jeez.
I will tell you.
Okay,
you
do have to show your work for that one.
We will.
We will.
Yeah, because the work is very strong here. I will say this. This is an upset on several different levels, because one, Wake Forest already sounds like a gated community.
Yeah.
Just the name.
Yeah.
Also, multiple players named Tanner and Riley. Mm-hmm. They really should be up here. But there's one thing that we'll divulge later that puts them this low on the list. And I will tell you, it is a shocker even by ACC Coastal standards.
Okay. So you're going to make us wait.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. Keep going.
Fifth least ACC coastal program. This one will not be a surprise. Recently, at least. Clemson.
Like, wait for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clemson is Clemson's far too good at football. Their coach is named Dabo. They do suffer some SEC poisoning, which will enrage any Clemson fans listening to this. But sorry, sad but true. It's in the DNA.
Next, one rung higher on the ACC coastal ladder, Syracuse.
Yeah, huh. Syracuse. Yeah, like
they're very basketball-y.
Yes,
this is true. They're not particularly successful at basketball. Like, that much above
wow.
mediocre.
You're definitely going to get some emails about that one.
Oh,
so
wow.
This means Syracuse is very ACC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not
coastal.
ACC coastal.
But not coastal.
Spencer, do you
okay.
want to
yeah.
tell folks how they can reach you?
Yeah, they can reach me, 38 Godfrey at bannersociety.com. Is that
it's
our Godfrey?
Even,
it's no, it's not even right. That's
address.
That's even better. That's even better. Why are you clarifying this? What's his real email address? Keep the crime quiet. So
keep
bad at crime,
quiet.
Right?
You would be the worst person at keeping the crime quiet, second only to Alex.
I don't talk. I just burn things down, and I lose the paperwork, and that's why I'm good at certain crimes,
like arson. Let me ask this. What could Syracuse do to be more coastal than they are now?
Play
well,
outside.
For one thing, they could be in the coastal. Yes, they could go outside sometimes.
Yeah,
sure.
They could perform better in the metric that we are building toward. That would be a key factor.
Okay. They could produce fewer journalists. I feel like you want schools in the ACC coastal that produce people who make money, and that's definitely not journalists.
Right.
So I would say that Syracuse definitely is too proud of their journalism program to really flex on anybody with the ACC coastal's cultural aspirations. Of wealth, lacrosse adjacent brands, and yes, the ski vacations, because yeah, you got a lot of snow. I don't think you can go downhill on a lot of it, Syracuse.
Also, I feel like I got a big one here. They don't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
I thought they were fixing that for some reason.
I don't. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. To me,
Syracuse football was supposed to be fixing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been hearing that for several decades.
All right, if you Google Carrier Dome air conditioning, you get this from March. Carrier Dome air conditioning could be installed by 2021.
Okay, we'll take it.
I'm gonna go ahead and predict that whatever was planned in March of 2020 probably won't be happening.
They got all sorts
of time.
I mean,
the dome's gonna be empty for a good portion of that time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, nothing unusual. Mm. Next up is Duke. I think we're near the midpoint.
Hell Duke, yes, Duke football.
The most middling ACC program of the most middling ACC metric.
I would say being better at football has actually hurt Duke's coastalness, ACC coastalness, recently. You know, they do have a very strong resume in terms of the trinity of, you know, spring break ski vacations, quarter zips, and internships in Phi Dye, right? So I think that's super strong. I don't think they're quite as strong as everyone else culturally, just by virtue of being small and openly despised. You have to be despised by connoisseurs, not by the randos and amateurs. I think that's something that you'll see with the top of this list, the top tier teams. Those who hate them, they're not really abundant in terms of number, but in terms of virulence and in terms of dedication to hating them, yeah, everyone who hates Duke is amateurs. The rest of the people on this list, if you hate them, it's for a reason, and it's extremely specific.
So I haven't seen the how you formulated this, but is some of this, like, is part of why Duke is here because they think of themselves as different, and to really be ACC Coastal, you must acknowledge that all is same, and these distinctions are just, like, laundry and labels?
I think you're pretty close to it, Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
My numbers were off. That's fine. I'm the numbers expert here. We are now entering the top 10 most ACC Coastal programs. Next up, we have the reigning champ of the ACC Coastal, Virginia.
Huh. I actually would have thought they'd be much higher on this list. So, because everything you're saying feels like aggressively coastal. So I'm curious how they're not at least top 5.
Well, I think one of the reasons is that they have consistently been too good at football.
a thing we've all said about Virginia over the past 5+ years.
They have tried.
I think I have a theory here. It is that they are too ACC Coastal. They are trying too hard, right?
Uh-huh.
Like in the ACC Coastal, if you know, Virginia is walking around with a shirt that says, "I am the most ACC Coastal program." No, you are trying way too hard, pal.
This is the difference between being rich and acting rich.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's fair. They also have, unfortunately, some very coordinated cheers, which definitely like definitely runs counter to the ACC Coastal's ethos of a waiting room until basketball starts.
Yeah, okay. We don't really like all that organization here in the ACC Coastal. Okay. Next up, number 9, the Miami Hurricanes, who they were put in the ACC Coastal to keep them in Miami and Florida State from always winning the same division.
Yeah,
Miami
generally
has demonstrated extreme ACC Coastalness by not abiding with that anyway.
Came into the ACC Coastal a stranger and now family.
Can we break off for a second? Is there a point at which can anybody name a situation where any of these division clogging fears have actually come to pass? Like
where it's been like a good thing that they split them?
Or no, remember when the SEC divisions came up and it was like, well, what if Tennessee and Alabama had to play twice a year? And Tennessee's like, not a problem.
Yeah.
Wasn't this also a thing with Nebraska at first when they put them in the Big Ten where they're like,
that's what I'm saying. Can we think of a situation where these division fears have actually come to pass?
Where else would they have put Nebraska? In the leaders and/or legends?
Yeah, I think that the thought process was at the time they were not in Ohio State's side, and they were like, well, we can't put them there because the two, you know, whatever.
Florida State and Clemson
Ohio State, Michigan was the reason for leaders legends, wasn't it? Weren't they indifferent? No.
Oh yeah, yeah. I just mean
which was which. But like Nebraska's entry was the thing that killed it. You're saying, Ryan?
I think I don't remember, but yeah. I think one of the considerations for where they put Nebraska in the same way, like obviously there's not a like direct rivalry that they had to sort of like keep split, but it was like we must maintain balance. It feels like whenever you try to maintain balance in your divisions, you just fuck it up. Because
no, but what I was saying is it feels like whenever there's been this hollering about these two division foes, it's going to be unfair to one of them, like Florida State and Clemson. Definitely can't think of a time when one of them screwed up another one's season. Look, football was both a long time ago and a long time in the future. That's what I'm saying. So there are no lies right now.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. You're right.
Conferences are stupid.
Divisions are just stupider conferences.
Yeah.
Divisions are incredibly stupid because you're base the shit on geography. ACC, the ACC has always been the worst offender here. Just base the shit on geography and keep it.
What if we based it on geology? Oh, you got mica in your soil.
How many rare earths do you have?
This would be like the Virginia Tech Old Earth a division, right?
Yeah.
And then like Miami as the Earth that is about to be reclaimed by the Earth division.
The Jiggly Earth division.
For all the Florida schools, we would just have a geology 404.
Yeah, that would also require conference officials and the people who run college football to know anything about geology, which, that's a quiz I'd like to hand out.
School of Mines, baby.
Number eight, most ACC Coastal, Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Yeah, which, you know, in order to justify this outside of the math, I was like, well, they do have a pro golfer in Matt Kuchar, and he's also a terrible tipper, which is definitely seriously ACC Coastal.
Is it? The ACC Coastal is super generous. You go ahead. You win the division.
No, we gave to an official, like...
But that's... Jason, you're talking about internal generosity. Like, that's Matt Kuchar being like...
no generosity left for caddies.
Yeah, that's Matt Kuchar's like, you can use my beach house, no problem. But tipping, that's like playing a G5 school.
I'm sorry, sir.
You're not in the ACC Coastal.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't sign social contracts like tipping. I sign official contracts because I do business.
Number 7. Most ACC Coastal University is the greatest university in the world. Pitt.
The Pitt Panthers.
Yeah. Which, I will say this. They have a lot of things that aren't super ACC Coastal. Like, the numbers back this up. But, like, Pitt's they're a gritty private school.
is Pitt a is that true? Is Pitt a private school?
I believe. I think they are now, as of like very, very recently, like today.
Yeah, as of today. We just made them one.
Are they owned by the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is that the arrangement, Spencer?
That would be. I'm sorry, they're technically state related.
What is
state related?
What a nonsense.
Used to be a private school. Pitt hasn't been a private school since like the 60s.
Yeah, state related is technically the term. So
God,
yes, we can go ahead
and old as shit.
So when Spencer was growing up, they were a private school.
They were, it was true. But
when,
yeah,
when
this
Spencer
is also
was applying to Pitt.
Do you know the name of the founder of Pitt?
George Pitt.
Hugh Henry Pitt. Brackenridge.
Brackenridge.
Not Breckenridge. Brackenridge.
Say that in the accent.
I can't.
Hugh Henry Brackenridge.
Western Pennsylvania, I feel like, is a weird place to put a coastal school. Like,
sure.
I feel like that's an explanation alone, right?
It is a great place, however, to put a home field apparel ad.
Wow.
Let's go.
Wow.
Count it. I don't know. Where do you guys want to get your comfortable college apparel from?
I got nowhere else. Home field's
I
the only place
to
do
it. I don't want
to
make it myself.
Brothers and sisters, we are Gandalf. What's the plural of Gandalf? Gandalfs or Gandalves?
Gandalves.
Yelves.
Brothers and sisters, we are Gandalves the White, and we come back to you now at the turn of the tide of the ACC Coastal for one reason and one reason only. And it's not that we're good at podcasting. It's that Home Field Apparel has Pitt gear now, starting this Saturday. Hashtag put Pitt on. You can get 20% off with the code FULLCAST. That's F-U-L-L, two L's always, just like Alabama, C-A-S-T. Unlike us, you can tweet at Home Field Apparel and tell them the schools you want to see, which is how, for example, they were able to procure all of this sweet Pitt gear that's dropping this Saturday. Keep tuning in every weekend for what they are calling Big New Saturdays, pointedly not nude, because you will be wearing your snuggliest possible Home Field Apparel t-shirts and sweatshirts.
And pants.
And pants.
And pants.
And pants. Who
I'm gonna
who
get
are they?
A pair of Pitt sweatpants that say "juicy" on the butt, but it's got a picture of a sandwich. Those
who
don't exist, but they might by the time this show's out.
Who have they added in recent weeks? There's Tulane. There's Hawaii.
Tulane.
They added your favorite. Mm-hmm.
There's UConn. They got Sad Husky, y'all. It was
they added UConn, and UConn immediately canceled the football season. They thought, well, we can just exist as a lifestyle brand now. That's all we need. Football's no longer necessary.
Did you know the North Face used to have a football team? I had no idea.
Which one? UConn used to be sponsored by Asics or Umbro, or UConn used to be sponsored by Aeropostale.
Aeropostale, that's what it was. Yeah,
their jerseys had
had
like
the glow
Forever
up.
21.
This is
on
the
it.
Best. This is the best like fashion change a team's made in years. So yeah, Home Field Apparel, we love them. We will always love them, and they're like. I think most people on this podcast know that they're like which schools they are adding, but they are continuing to add more and exciting schools. So if your school's not there yet, maybe they're coming. You don't know.
Because guess what? Your school needs some money right now.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Your school does need some money right now.
Yeah, to schools that don't have home field apparel yet, this is called money. You need that.
I did hear from Connor, the proprietor of Home Field, that the UConn Saturday was so successful that like they don't have enough time. They barely have enough time to package and send out and print all the.
Oh no! And we've got Pitt coming down.
Yeah, that's sort of where we're leading towards. So remember this Saturday, ruin an Indiana stranger's life.
Right. We have
everybody place your orders in a leisurely fashion, but place a lot of them.
Yeah, space them out a little bit. Have mercy. We have six more to get to. Number six most ACC coastal program, Boston College.
A little bit of a shocker, but I will say this, aside from the numbers backing this up, if I told you this, they're one of the most ACC coastal names I can think of simply because at several times throughout their history, they didn't really seem to understand that they're operating a football program.
I will say this, and I don't know if this is part of the factoring. The most ACC Coastal thing Boston College does on a consistent basis is if ever things are going well, if ever they are ranked, if ever they are getting game day, if ever they are, like, you know, on a win streak, that is when they will fall flattest. That is when they will be their emptiest. That is when they will disappoint you the most thoroughly.
I will say, the Steve Addazio regime, what it produced on the field, surely moved BC up in the ACC Coastal rankings.
Yeah.
And that is the nicest possible thing I have to say about Steve Addazio.
That seems fair.
Number five, Maryland. Oh, yeah, they were here. They're back now. They're number five in the ACC Coastal.
Never left, in my opinion. They are, by definition, super coastal. Another point qualitative case for their case for ACC coastalness. They have a colonially branded state flag. They have barely defensible local beers, and they burn things. They burn things over basketball. Like, I think they're real strong in this case. The downside is that they too produce a lot of journalists who drag down the average earning. That's really the worst thing that I can say about them.
We're hitting the big ones, folks. Number four, most ACC coastal program, the North Carolina Tar Heels.
I mean, they are North Carolina. Like, they're just North Carolina. No states,
yes.
No directionals. No, they're North Carolina. So super strong. By definition, actually, yeah, they can claim part of the coast that ECU will let them have. They don't really care about football a lot. They squander a lot of great talent in football and have for decades on end. Chances are, if you see somebody in the NFL and go, man, never heard of that guy, where'd they come from? UNC is like a good 15% shot in terms of open betting on where they played college football. Program basically disappears come basketball season.
I think the best thing UNC did, and the most telling thing they did, was after Mitch Trubisky got drafted second, they just sort of walked
Mitchell.
Away. They were just sort of like, yeah, I don't know, never met him. Anyway, we're on to other things.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of Mitch Trubisky memes on NFL Sundays, do you?
No.
Yeah. UNC made.
UNC is not interested in claiming his ass in the slightest.
Built and by, like, Chapel Hill.
And, like, to some extent, it makes sense. Yeah, go ahead.
It takes a while to build up that Jimbo callus, right?
Yeah. But they're just like...
Don't ask where he's, like, wearing the shirt in press conferences. It says, ask me how I get my quarterbacks paid. Don't ask about anything after that.
When your football team, it really isn't even valued enough to figure prominently in academic fraud. That's
wow.
How you know you're ACC Coastal.
That's hurtful.
The number three most ACC Coastal program. Notre Dame's big brother in the ACC. It's Louisville.
Yeah, my only ding in their case
not
is that
very fancy, but
no, my only ding in that case is that it's the wrong kind of horses. They're the horses you bet on, not the horses you ride.
Yeah.
So, gaming not equestrian, but otherwise, Jason pretty much said the meanest thing I could possibly think to say about him. Next,
number two. Yep, they were also here before, the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Never left. Another team that never
Is
really left.
Is there any evidence that they have left?
Holly,
have they won any other conferences? Or...
Holly, how confident are you between recording this show and releasing this show that South Carolina won't move to the ACC Coastal?
Are you telling me South Carolina would... You know, I was trying to get to a Fort Sumter joke here, and
yep.
We all know that they pulled this kind of shit before, and we all know how it worked out for them.
Okay, so now I'm very confused because South Carolina doesn't have the basketball gravitas. They don't, mm-hmm. to my knowledge, they're not putting a lot of bank.
Their men don't have the basketball.
Yeah. No, yeah, yes, I agree that the women, mm-hmm. the women's basketball is very good, but I assume this to be, maybe I am falsely correlating ACC coastalness with unbearable white dude banker who only cares about men's basketball.
or in South Carolina's case, white dude who owes
a
banker.
Redundancy.
Yeah, I think again this is ACC. This is an ACC thing, not less an
Does
ACC.
South Carolina coastal have banks? I thought they were still under the feudal system.
And what would Will Muschamp do at a ski slope?
Fight it.
Fall down. fall down. No, he would. Imagine Will Muschamp trying to stand up on skis.
Come out, Yeti!
Imagine him squaring up like Liam Neeson in that movie with the wolves, with glass taped to his knuckles.
You're not
but
bringing
it's against.
Up.
But it's against a ski lift. It's against a ski lift, right? Like it's heading toward him. He's like, "Come on, come on!
This haunted chair, this haunted bench is trying to attack me."
I got this. He's just sitting there, knocking them off one by one.
Pow!
If you're with, if you're with this bench, I fight you too.
Spin kick, spin kick.
Unlike the gray, that would be a sad.
Keep them coming. I picture Coach Boone standing at the foot of the mountain, like
bottles taped to his fist, but they're all plastic.
Yeah, they make me more intense. So I will tell you, the case for this is almost entirely by the numbers. Who do we have at number one, Jason?
Number one. This will not be disputed whatsoever. When I say this, you will say, ah, that's definitely right. The number one most ACC coastal program of all time, the NC State Wolfpack.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no way to dispute
that. Okay. No. I mean, even my
would you like to know the metric?
Yeah, the metric's amazing.
Sure.
So the metric is, in backwards order, distance from a perfect 500 in ACC football games.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State and Notre Dame, they have been too good against ACC opponents. South Carolina and NC State, they're within just a few games of 500 all time in ACC games. NC State gets the nod there, of course, because they are on the wrong side of 500. So this is how you end up with Wake Forest with an all-time .311 win percentage in ACC games. They're up there with Clemson and Virginia Tech. Because it's not
that
about whether you're
beautiful.
Good or bad. It's about how close you are to a perfect 500.
Balance in all things.
Closest to the pin.
Balance in all things.
Yeah.
Closest to the pin.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that now that you say NC State, South Carolina makes more sense to me because NC State and South Carolina playing each other feels very ACC coastal. Not just in terms of, like, the matchup, but in, like, yep, I know this is going to be 17-13. And it doesn't matter who has which number.
Also, they
as long
both
as it all
done
balances
a whole
out.
Lot in football in like 60 years.
Yeah.
So that's pretty ACC coastal.
It goes with the gentlemanly pace of life in the ACC coastal. Things just move a little slower when you're a gentleman. Where's the championship? It's assumed and it'll be on the way.
I like that you're setting up a counterbalance where in the SEC it just means more. In the ACC Coastal, it's, but what if it didn't?
The ACC Coastal is, it just means what
enough.
It means.
It just Mac means
Brown,
enough.
The Mac Brown mindset, it is what it is. That's the ACC Coastal mindset. It is what it
no,
is.
No, no, no. You got to make a money pun here. It's just means.
Mm-hmm. It just means
That's
lunch.
New money. The SEC. SEC, yeah. SEC's just over there buying flashy cars. Meanwhile, we understand the value of things. I go to a cottage in the summer that does not have air conditioning.
The guarantee.
Now you gotta use summer as a verb with these people.
Yeah. No, I
summer in Highlands.
I think this is a good ranking. It's indisputable.
Thank you. Okay, we done somewhere in there?
I think that's the end of the show, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, were we supposed to be recording?